Lord.
Bless the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
So glad to be here tonight again, another Tuesday night, but only that tonight is the last Tuesday night in the month of September, and it happened to be the last day as well. And almost the year is marching on, and we have to be marching on with it too. But we give God thanks that He has taken us thus far, and He will not leave us, but He will always be with us. So glad to hear all those wonderful testimonies coming from God's people tonight. It served us to realize that He is still on the job, doing something on our behalf. And we want to continue to bless Him so that we will have more things to say about Him. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, says the songwriter, and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me.
Amen.
So we will continue to sing these wonderful choruses as we continue to give God the praise and the glory that He deserves. Bless the Lord.
Praise His name.
Tonight we're going to read a passage of scripture, and I trust that you have your Bibles there with you. And it is going to come from Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And I am going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. Mark chapter 6. Reading from verse 1 to verse 6. And it read like this. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he lay hands upon a few sick folks and heal them. Last verse. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the village teaching. The Lord bless the reading of his words to our hearts. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Tonight is evangelical night, as you heard. And it is a night in which we extend the hand of invitation to those who are not yet following the Lord, that by faith you would follow Him. You would give God a chance in your life so that your life can be changed for the better. Jesus wants all of us to be saved.
Yes.
The question is, do you want to be saved?
Yes.
And tonight we look to the Lord that by His Holy Spirit, something will be said that will move on the heart of somebody. And the Holy Spirit will work on that word, and it will lead to conversion. God is moving by His Spirit.
Amen.
And we know that His Spirit has Jesus' interest at heart. And He is going to come to each person, and He is going to witness to the name of Jesus. So we look forward that tonight somebody's heart will turn to the Lord as we look to him and serve him. Bless God. But for a little while, I would like to exalt us under the topic, we have lost reverence for God.
Yes.
Under the topic, we have lost reverence for God.
Yeah.
If we take a careful look around us, the respect and the reverence for the things of God and God's people are wanting. I remember in earlier days, it was not like this. But as we get further from Calvary, I find out that creeping into our experience is a lack of awe as far as God is concerned. And a certain level of coarseness seems to be creeping in. Coarseness that seemed to give way to the enemy, because the presumptuousness of people to manifest itself to a level that question as to where are we going as a people. And I find out that we have seen something in the scripture that speaks to the moment that we are in. And it is important that we make the necessary adjustment so as to make sure that we as Christians maintain our relationship with the Lord that we're supposed to have, as we keep our eyes steadfast on him. Look what we have here in this passage of scripture. Jesus came back to his hometown, Nazareth. And there are many, at least three of the gospel carry this piece of information to show you how important it is. Matthew carried it, Mark carried it, Luke carries it as well. And it is important because we need to visit it to see what has taken place there. And we see here in Mark chapter 6, from verse 1 to 6, an encounter with Jesus and the people of his day, the people within his own community. He returned to his hometown and he went in the synagogue, the word tells us. And especially in the reading from St. Luke, it described, it said that Jesus was given a book to read from. And after he finished reading that book, he sat down and he declared that this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And the word tells us over there in St. Luke that all eyes in the synagogue was fastened on him. Here in Mark 6, verse 2, we read, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Marvel at the person of Jesus. The entire church, the entire congregation was stunned by Jesus' approach, his words, and his work. And yet within that setting, there is a spirit of unbelief. There is a spirit of belittling. There is a spirit of devaluing within that setting, despite the presentation of our Lord Jesus, that forces them in the next verse to say these things. Listen to what verse 3 said. As they were blinded with the past. Listen to what verse 3 said. Is not this the carpenter? Look on that. Is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary, the brother of James, and of Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? Offended at him. Despite their astonishment of his presentation and his work, they came to this section where they now decide to look on the person before them. And what are they seeing? They are looking back at Jesus when he was younger, growing up in a household among his brothers and his sisters, as recorded here. And he was a carpenter. And then uses these things right there to belittle Jesus. To belittle him. And as if to say, he cannot come inside of the synagogue and claim to be who he has just declared himself to be. And as a result of that unbelief, take over the heart of even those who listen. They had nothing, they want to have nothing to do with him. In fact, in St. Luke, this is what they eventually did. After Jesus was finished, St. Luke chapter 4, and I read verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill, whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Listen to that. They could not contain themselves. They want to throw Jesus over the hill, headlong, because they remember who he was. They remember that he was a lad grew up in a family that wanted many things. Jesus had to use the skill that he got from his stepfather Joseph in order to help bread on the table, so to speak, for his household. They remember the struggle that Jesus had in his upbringing. They remember how difficult it was for that family. And they are saying, no, that he is not in a position to come and lecture to them in the church. But at the same time, they could not disregard the work of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, and the authority of Jesus in the church. To the extent that in Luke, it says that every eye was fastened upon him. Here, they were astonished in Mark. Brothers and sisters, tonight I just want to tell all of us here that what we are seeing today, what we are seeing going on around us today, it mirrors what had happened in the past. People have lost their reverence for God. People have lost their awe of who God is. People have heard about the good news, the different testimonies, and the different witnessing of the brethren from the church. People have seen churches almost every 2 miles, a church of some sort can be found. People have seen all of this, and it reaches a place where it becomes not as important to them as it should. People have become numb to spiritual things. I think this is a very sad time for us as a church. Do you know that what is called familiarity is breathing contempt? There are many pet owners in this country. Many pet owners in this country. And you'd be surprised to know some of the things that people use as pets. Some people use a bear in the house as a pet. Some people use a crocodile as a pet. Some people use a cat, a lion as a pet, a tiger as a pet. Some people use a pig as a pet. Some people have snakes, some huge snake as pets in their houses. And over a period of time, they got used to this pet, to the extent, some of them, to the extent that they miss or forget or disregard the danger that lies within the natural behavior of this pet. Many of these owners died from these pits because of what? They forget that these pits carries a certain level of danger. Over familiar with these pits. So it is with the church. So it is with the Lord Jesus in our midst. We have lost our reverence for him. We have lost our fear for him. We have lost the ability to recognize him for who he is. And this is what happened here. They were blinded by Jesus' path so that they could not recognize his divine ability right in front of them. It is indeed a sad time for us. A sad time in America. When somebody is going to look at a church and light that church afire with people in there, it means that we have lost our way as a people. It means that we have lost the awe, the reverence for God. It means that the place where God is supposed to occupy in our lives, we have thrust God out. And it is replaced with something else. It is replaced with unbelief. But I want to tell all of us here tonight that the danger is still there. God is still a consuming fire. God is still the God of judgment. They look and they belittle Jesus because of his past. Just like how they treated some of you, before you got saved. There are those who you know, especially back home. And to see you continue with the Lord and trust in the Lord and have a meaningful testimony tonight. There are those who will tell you, remember what you used to involve in. Remember the days. They will quickly shed light on your past, on my past, our past, as if not to want to recognize the presence. But things I used to do, says the songwriter, I do it no more. Places I used to go, says the songwriter, I go them no more. It is a great change since I was born.
Amen.
And that needs to be recognized here. And Jesus is manifesting his divine ability. Hallelujah. As we have seen in the church before the very people, and they could not recognize Jesus' divinity. But instead were blinded by Jesus' past. Just like America, as we see it right now. Just like America. When their forefathers came here, the land was buzzing with spirituality. Buzzing all over with spirituality, true Christian value. But over a period of time, we have seen what different ideology brings and how much the gospel has been challenged over the years here in America, to the extent that it is no big thing for a man to light a church with hundreds of people in there. We have lost our reverence for God. Fathers in homes have lost his ability to manage under God his family. Lost the reverence for God. We have thrown the Bible out of the classroom. The guide for our youngsters. The Ten Commandments, which speaks to thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Today, we are disregarding the thou shalt not, and we are saying, we shall have. We shall have. We shall have. Without any form of remorse. This is where we seem to reach as a people. Lost our reverence for God. But God is long-suffering. I want to say, friends, God is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And look how far reaching this thing is. Look how far reaching this thing is. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own king, and his own house. Jesus is saying, look, I am acknowledged other places in Capernaum. I am recognized for who I am in Capernaum, but I come to my own hometown, and people don't seem to regard me as anybody. Not even in my own house, Jesus said, they seem to recognize me for who I am. Among his own kin. In his own hometown, he declared that they have not given me the attention and interest that I deserve. They have misidentified me. I want to say to all of us tonight, this is a case of misidentity that we are seeing before us. We are blinded by modernism, blinded by new philosophy, blinded by new isms that come on the scene, not seeing Jesus through identity. Not recognizing him for who he is. And the far-reaching effect, as I've just mentioned to us, is going to be found in verse 5 and 6. Listen to what it says. Verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. He could there do no mighty work. Listen to that. As a result of unbelief. As a result of unbelief, Jesus could do no mighty work. It has seemingly tied the hands and the power of Christ. A sense of unbelief, not recognizing and not giving him who the interest and identifying him for who he really is. It has tied Jesus' hands. That is what it says here. And he could there do no mighty work. But at the same time, there's a trickle. There's a trickle of Jesus' ability that creeped through. Looking at the same verse. He could there do no mighty work, save that he lay hands up on a few sick folks and healed them. He was only able to lay hands on a few sick folks and they were healed. But the word said he could not do no great mighty work. Because of what? Unbelief and misidentity. Just like what we are seeing here. No wonder. No wonder some of the things that are happening in America are happening. Unbelief is creeping into the society. And it is creating problem in the communities, and it is creating problem in the churches. Because Jesus is not being looked at in the way in which he should. Because of what? Familiarity. They have heard the name Jesus called so often. It means nothing. They have heard the voice of the church so often. It means nothing. You have invited them to church. They are not coming. Because what? They are involved in a stage of me hear that already. I heard that already. I have seen that already. We have been down that road already. That is where the argument is right now. And you are not seeing the flood going into the church as it should. Because the enemy has placed these negative thoughts in the hearts of people. And verse 6 says, and he marveled, Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. When Jesus looked and Jesus saw their approach, their attitude towards him, he marveled at this level of unbelief. Because they was not able to identify who Jesus is. And tonight I want to inform the church that Jesus is more than a carpenter. Jesus is more than a carpenter. Listen to what Isaiah said that Jesus is. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9. They said, is not this a carpenter? Is not this the carpenter? And his brothers are here with us and his sisters. That is what they say in order to belittle Jesus. But here is what Isaiah foretold us about who Jesus is. Isaiah chapter 9, and I read from verse 6. I read verse 6 because that's where the thought is. For unto us a child is born, Jesus. Unto us a son is given, that is Jesus. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And listen to these titles. Listen to these titles, saints. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. the mighty God. Come on, church. The mighty God. They said, over there in St. Mark, he was a carpenter. I'm sure he was. And he was proud to be a carpenter too. But so as to belittle him. That's all they could see. But here, Isaiah was foretelling that he is the mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Listen to those titles given to the man who they look at and describe him only as a carpenter. Blinded by Jesus' power. The Bible tells us, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is he who came into the temple. And this is he who they saw with wisdom and power and authority and extraordinary work. This is the man they saw there. That's why it is said in Luke that all eyes were fastened on him because of the authority he carries. But today, we are showing lack of reverence for him who the Bible said is the mighty God. We are showing lack of reverence for him who the Bible said is the Prince of Peace. We are showing lack of reverence for him who the Bible said is the everlasting Father. Tonight we are showing lack of reverence for him who the Bible said in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah, and his name is Jesus. So he says to his disciples, Matthew 16, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And of course, they were all over the place, the disciples, in terms of trying to identify who he is. Then he turned to them and said, who do you say that I am? And Peter, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, rightly identified him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah, saints. Hallelujah. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter did not say you are a carpenter. But instead he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus confirmed it by saying, blessed are thou, by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father. You have not received this revelation from anybody, but through the blessed Holy Spirit, convey the true identity as to who I am. And those people in the church could not identify, could not see through Jesus' body to behold the beauty of who he is. And to know that he's the Savior, the King of the world, the everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. I want to say tonight to all of those who are listening, let us start to show reverence for the King of Kings. Let us start to show humility for the King of Kings. Let us start to bow before the King of Kings. Let us give him the praise. Let us give him the glory that he deserves. For the word tells us that God has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the honor and glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow. Those who turn up the nose against Jesus right now and call themselves billionaires, call themselves cream of the crop, call themselves Mr. Uptown and Miss Uptown. All are going to come bubbling before the man called Jesus, because the word says he has received a name that is above every name. That at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We lost our reverence for him. Familiarity. We have heard his name called so often. We've seen people quote scriptures so often. We have heard on television and on radio and different medium about the preaching of the gospel. And so we have gotten used to these things, not realizing that there is a danger that involves ignoring the truth and the purposeful of the gospel that is being preached. I want to say to all of us here tonight, those who are listening, let us return to the place of awe. The place of awe, where we show that great reverence for Jesus. And to remember that one day he is going to be our judge, or we're going to see him face to face. We're going to see him face to face. And we're going to recollect, we are going to remember the different times that we have said something harsh about his people. We have said something harsh about the church. We have said something harsh about the witness. We're going to look in his eyes, and he is going to remember you. And he will allow you to remember you. We have lost that reverence for him right now. As I said before, when a man is going to look on a church and light it afire with Christians in there, caring not that they are burnt up, it speaks volume as to how far we have drifted as a people. And I'm glad tonight to know that we are able to use these last Tuesday nights in order to present the gospel. That's why we are doing here. And we trust that the effect of these presentations will witness to somebody about the reality of trusting Jesus. Of trusting Jesus. All eyes were fastened on him. He got their attention. But when they remember that he was just a little lad growing up among them in the community, what they did, they said, "You don't have any authority over me," claiming to be greater and more important than he was. And they trust him out of the city. And that many people have trusted him out of their life, have thrown him out of their life. But there are many people who are embracing him with open arms. Are you one of them? Are you one of them who are looking beyond, the coarseness of the time, the disrespect of the time, and see Jesus. You're looking beyond all of this, and you're seeing Jesus, and you're embracing him. And you are inviting him in your heart. Come in, Lord Jesus. Nicodemus is one person came to mind. He would not allow his colleague to see him having a discussion with Jesus. Because he was a professor. You know what he is. He was a ruler. He was a part of the Sanhedrin Council, the highest governing body of the land. And he was ashamed to see, for anybody to see him having a conversation with Jesus. How much that body has belittled Jesus. But something he heard, and he uses the darkness of night to find Jesus. And when he found him, he declared to Jesus, I know that you are from God. Because no man can do these miracles that you do it, except God be with him. And I like how Jesus decided that he would argue with Nicodemus, what would consider a professor in our time. Realizing that Nicodemus not even did know the ABC of salvation. Jesus said to him, look, you must be born again. That is all matters. That is all that matters, saints. You must be born again. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all things shall be added unto you. And under the darkness of night, thank God Jesus is available, whether it is morning, noon, or night. Nicodemus found the answer. And he himself told his colleague afterwards that you should listen to him. You should listen to him and hear him speak. And they was surprised, because they said to him, are you one of them that believe? And he carried that conviction with him all the way when Jesus died on the cross. He is the man who bought 100 pound weight of spice. 100 pound weight of spice. And gave them to embalm Jesus' body. Hallelujah. The power of conviction grips his heart. And he looked across from everything and everybody else. And he saw the true nature, the true value, the true identity of Jesus. And he embraced it. Are you looking away from the destruction of this world? Are you looking away from everything that is out there and seeing Jesus? And seeing him to be more than just a carpenter. But he's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. Shall we pray? Father, I just thank you for your word. Mm-hmm. I just thank you for the word. Thank you for your word that has life. Thank you for the ability that comes along with your word. As you spoke in that synagogue, every eye was fastened upon you. And they were amazed, they were astonished. Your word make all the difference. And now, Lord God, tonight, as we are looking on you again, And looking on the different things that you pass through, you realize that unbelief is a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a result of unbelief, your work was restricted.
Mm-hmm.
You have declared. We pray tonight, Lord God, those who are under the shackle of unbelief will be released by the
mm-hmm.
blessed Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, there will be a change in somebody's spirit. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we say thanks to you. Because your word is life. You said the word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And I pray that as this word go out to the different and filter in the different communities, whether it is here on this program or when it goes to the website, it will accomplish that for which you have sent it. It will reach somebody's heart. And there will be a change. They will see you for who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your people who are here with us tonight. And we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.